Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindinji Country. That's BBM Bummerabit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Okay, Disability Action Week, that's 24 November right through to 1 December. And Disability Advocate calls for urgent social inclusion improvement. We need to step up in that space is what I'm saying. Yes, we do. Look, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Deli Brother, Jonas Lutkic, quadriplegic and Disability Advocate. We have Jonas on the line. Jonas, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm doing pretty well. Can't complain.
Lovely
and warm here in Cairns.
You're in Cairns, yes, sir. So am I. So thank you very much. Look, thank you for coming to the program. So we're talking about Disability Action Week, 24 November, 1 December. Now, you are a quadriplegic and you're a disability advocate. First of all, let's talk about you. How did you become a quadriplegic, my friend?
Oh, Trevor, been about 10 years ago. I used to be a professional scuba dive instructor and skydive instructor in Cairns. So I was taking people for skydives, basically, over beautiful far north Queensland. Mm. And I was training 10 years ago for the Nationals in York, in WA, Western Australia. Mm. And I had a mid-air collision on a training jump with a friend and unfortunately dislocated my C6, C7 vertebrae and acquired became a quadriplegic, basically, mid-air free-falling. And yeah, I'm pretty lucky to be still alive, basically. And
well, exactly.
Yeah, that's how it basically happened.
You're still with us. Fantastic. And look, you now have become an advocate because of the accident. And look, disabled or not, quadriplegic or not, you can still live life. And that's exactly what you're doing, Jonas.
100%, Trevor. You know, it's like, as we say, shit happens, you know, and it's
yes.
just it takes a long time, and it's a process to get through that initial stage of acquiring such injury, because it is a pretty heavy thing you've got to deal with, and a lot of stuff changes in your life. And
yes,
obviously, I live that life now, and it's basically the club no one wants to be part of for out of free will, you know, we just get thrown into it. But I met a lot of really amazing people with disabilities. Like, personally, I can only speak about spinal cord injuries, obviously. So, yeah, it's close to my heart and it's important. I think it's important for society and our community we live in to be inclusive and, yeah, be more inclusive. You know, it makes everything better for everyone. That's just my personal opinion.
Exactly. And, look, my beautiful grandfather used to say, are you living or are you just waiting to die? Look, we wake up this morning, so that means you're alive. Let's live life. And you're doing exactly that. You mentioned off air that you got a business up and running. So entrepreneur, there you are. Tell us what you do, what business it is.
Yeah, mate. So it's just like, it just started off. It's pretty grassroots still, and I'm trying to see who is part of the journey. So basically what it is, I used to be a keen kite flyer, so I love flying kites. It gives me a way to still connect to the skies and the air movement, which I just always was passionate about. It. That's what I was being a skydiver.
Yes.
And skydiving, basically. So, yeah, I started originally a kite school, which turned into a kite school and Lego building club, social hub. So what I'm trying to do at the moment is building a social hub where people with disability or without disability or any color and shape to come together and just brainstorm ideas and see how we can make Cairns a better place or the far north for that
beautiful.
Point.
Beautiful, beautiful. And have you always lived in Cairns, Jonas?
No, originally I'm from Germany, actually, and I came when I landed in Australia in Sydney on my 20th birthday.
Oh, guten Tag, guten Tag, Germany.
Yeah, guten Tag, that's right. So I lived in Australia since like the last 16 years.
Yes.
You know, I had a lot of really cool experiences. I worked at a cattle station up in Buralula. Frank Shatford is his name, and I'm original too, and absolutely amazing, and like, you know, like, this is home now for me.
Good.
And
yes.
Yeah, I want to help shape it, make it inclusive and better, you know. That's
yeah.
what we all should be doing.
Fantastic,
like,
you know. Yes.
Where we live, you know.
Yes, yes, yes. And look, anybody with a disability, and unfortunate as it is, whether they're born with it or an incident happens where they become that way inclined, it's about looking up and living life. It's not what happens to you. It's how you respond to it is what I'm picking up, Jonas.
Yeah, man, like, you know, like, stuff happens, you know. Life carries on, and there are certain things which happen to all of us, and we all have our little setbacks in life, and I believe you know, like, you deal with the cards given and you're trying to make the best out of it, basically, you know, and it's not easy, and it helps having a supportive family, friends around you, and all these things which make it easy. And I believe we're pretty well looked after in Australia, you know.
Yes, yes.
I've been in other parts of the world, and, you know, I can call myself pretty lucky to have a disability and live in this country and not in Papua New Guinea, for example, and stuff, where social services are a lot worse. So I think we get given the opportunity in Australia to really, you know, to do something. Even though we got a disability, it doesn't stop life for you. Like, life carries on. And it's difficult. You got to find the right people to network with and, like, find like-minded people who see things and value things the same way. And then I think anything is possible, really, you know.
Well, exactly. And you get it together, you know, with people with disability or not. And you're finding people without disability, are they at the table as well in support and passion to help you guys or help people move forward, yes?
Yeah, I think, you know, like the Bricks and the Breeze social hub I'm trying to start here in the PN Cairns is, I think it's so young still. It's really hard to judge if it's going to work out in the end, but I'm going to put everything I got behind it, you know.
Good,
and
good.
I think it will work out. And the people, like, well, I've got a lot of kids super interested and people are responding pretty well to it, and I think it's important to normalize disability around kids as well, you know?
Yes, yes.
Like that, which is a big thing, you know? Like, you go in the city and people, oh, look at this guy in the wheelchair, and they point, and the parents say, oh, don't point, you know? But kids are really curious, and, like,
of course,
I
exactly.
see that in a good way, and I think it's important to have people or humans with disability around kids and normalize that. And to tell you the truth, you know, I see a lot of people who have physical disabilities who are visible, but I see a lot of other people who, you know, who have invisible disabilities, or some people even disable themselves a lot more than they have to.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Like, it's really, like, if you're a quadriplegic, you carry your disability on the outside, you know, like, obviously, you're in a chair, that's obvious.
Sure.
But, you know, your brain is still the same, your brain still works, and you can still do stuff and figure out ways around it. It would help in the systems, and I think for a lot of people who help people with disability, it's pretty rewarding too, you know. I think people should be more in that area and trying to help each other out to you know, make a social impact and make a change, you know. Change is a team sport after all, so, you know, that's what it's all about, I think.
Look, fantastic. I'm loving your attitude and your enthusiasm, and you're an entrepreneur, business person, businessman. Look, make it happen, brother. Make it happen. Great talking with you, and congratulations in regarding living life and living life to the fullest. Look, even though you're quadriplegic, it doesn't matter. Yeah? You're alive and you're doing something with it. That in itself is inspiration, but bringing more people to the table as well, you know. Thank you for your yarn, my friend. And listen, all the best to you. Take care, and we'll yarn soon, right, brother?
Thank you very much, Trevor. Take care, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye, Jonas. Deadly yarn there. Jonas Lukey, his name is, quadriplegic and disability advocate. And look, it is Disability Action Week. That's November 24 right through to 1 December. And Disability Advocate calls for urgent social inclusion improvement. So we need to do our bit, you mob. So if you know of anybody or see anybody disabled, what have you, reach out for a helping hand or a smile or whatever it can be, or just even having a conversation. There it is. Do your bit, your mob. We are all in this together, are we not? This is your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, National Talk Black, have your say, and yarn up strong, your mob. Too deadly.
the morning. Feel the free sunlight in the ocean.
Satisfied. Talk Black.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns in Yidinji Country. That's BBM, Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. And you can have your saver calls from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Alarming new data reveals government infrastructure investment not keeping up with population growth in Queensland. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Bronwyn Clark, CEO of National Growth Areas Alliance. That's NGAA, and we have Bronwyn online. Bronwyn, good morning. How are you?
Very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm well, Bronwyn. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So alarming new data reveals government infrastructure investment not keeping up with population growth in Queensland. Leaving people to defend for themselves in all areas of life. Yeah, we've got the house, but then we don't have infrastructure around the housing. Just shed some light on this, please.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. It's about the fact that people need more than a house to live a good life. And what we're seeing right around all the capital cities of each state and increasingly in regional areas too is, you know, we're trying to build as many houses as we can as a country to meet this housing crisis. And what happens is the focus is just on the houses. But then people move in and find, you know, there's very little public transport. They haven't upgraded the roads. There might not even be, you know, sports facilities or cultural centres or anything else that people need to get on with life. Those things aren't planned and funded in the same time frame as people are moving in.
So in regard to a family or person's social life, would you say dropping the ball was the town planners or the government communicating with the so-called investors, if that's the case?
Yeah. Look, the problem is there's probably a lot of people involved in that decision-making process.
Yes.
And so it does, you know, they do drop the ball. So we're calling on the federal government and we're going into an election period.
Yes.
So now's the time to ask
exactly
what we want. So we're asking the federal government to think more sort of holistically about what communities need as they arrive in a new suburb. And, you know, what we found, you know, around Brisbane, for example, is that some areas, some new suburbs are built, and still 15, 20 years later, there's something like a 70% less access to any sports and leisure facilities, or there's 53% less access to health services.
Or transport, or schooling, or daycare, or shopping.
TAFE. Yep, absolutely. So we're sort of calling on the government to think of a new way of investing in these areas, and that is to look at this new suburb that's being built as an entire new community. And so you can't.
It's funny how you say that, Bron, when you say the government needs to look at a new way. Bron, for crying out loud, this is the 21st century, and don't we? No one plans to fail. We just fail to plan. It's like they failed to plan. They failed to look at the vision for the future, for establishing a development area, a residential area, with no transport, with no schooling, with no shop. I mean, like, go figure. You would think in the 21st century.
I know. And the scary thing is, and why we think this is particularly urgent right now, is that, you know, we have this housing crisis and there's a plan to build 1.2 million new homes.
And well, there's a plan, but no plan in the plan.
Exactly. So if we don't fix the problem that's existing already, we're just going to, you know, keep doing the same thing and create bigger problems for people down the track.
Okay. And so with the new data that reveals that government infrastructure investment is not keeping up with population growth, need to go back to the drawing board? I mean, who do they converse to? Or like, for example, National Growth Areas Alliance, are you at the table when development is being talked about or a new residential area is being built? Like someone like yourselves, are you guys at the table?
Well, yeah, so we're a membership of councils. So a lot of those councils are at the table, but have limited authority.
Yeah, gotcha. Toothless
tigers. Limited resources, you know. Mm. So You know, council can't afford to build a $100 million rec centre or those sorts of things. And so what we're saying is we've come up with a new framework that we did some research around, and that's around looking at a place and investing in that place and the people who live there.
Yeah.
So, so we're saying it starts at the top with the federal government.
Yep.
They need to sort of plan better of where the houses will go, how our population will grow. And then it comes down to states as well. So they need, we all need to be part of the conversation and the planning.
Well, of course, well, the government will make a decision from the top. And then they go into the state, would it be Queensland, New South Wales, what have you. Then they go into a city area or town area. So that's where the council have got to be involved. So you're looking at building distance. Well, hang on, we haven't got no transport over that way. We've got no schools in that area. The local council should be telling the so-called state before you go ahead with it, sort of thing. There's got to be communication, well, both ways, you would think, Bronwyn.
Well, I think there's a lot of communication, but perhaps not a lot of listening.
Okay. Yes, I did tell you. No, you didn't hear me.
And so that's the frustrating part. That
exactly.
You know, there are so many different people at the table, and from a local government, from a council perspective, they're not the decision makers a lot of the time on these big things like the public transport and the schools and things like that.
And Bronwyn, then you look at, my people, First Nation people. I mean, we're behind the starting line from the get-go, so to speak. So if you're building, thank you for the new house, but how do I get my children to school now, sort of thing, you know what I mean? We got one car and my husband's working and I got no car, and can you help me out here, please? Thanks for the house, and they're sleeping well, but they've got no education now. We've got no groceries, sort of thing.
And the really interesting thing, Joe, is that in the capital cities of Australia, the data shows that First Nations people are more represented in outer suburban areas that we represent.
That's a point
areas.
Too, yes.
They're more represented there than the rest of the city.
Yes.
So different in regional areas, of course, but those outer suburban areas
don't have service as the city does.
Don't have service.
Yes, exactly.
We've got such an asset with so many young people. Like 54% of all babies born in Queensland last year were born in outer suburban areas.
Yeah, there you go. Spread the love. Hello. Yeah. You know, you get so build services to where the people are. What you're saying is not keeping up with the population growth in Queensland is the statement here. Bronwyn, thank you for your yarn. You shed some light on it. Thank you. Government need to be listening. We're yarning here on National Talk Black, which goes across the country. Of course, government funded. Thank you very much. But also they can listen to our conversation. So they're listening, Bronwyn. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Beautiful yarn there. Bronwyn Clark, her name is, CEO of National Growth Areas Alliance, NGAA. And alarming new data reveals government infrastructure investment not keeping up with population growth in Queensland. Go figure, plan of a pack. We don't plan to fail, we'll just fail to plan. Well, government, if you plan an attack and regarding building more houses, make sure there's infrastructure around the housing, around the residential area. Make sure there's schools there, there's transport there, there's shopping centres, if not small stores, convenience stores, whatever the case may be. So there it is. Have you saying Yana Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM, Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National Israeli Service. Yana Strong, your mob, National Talk Black.
Come, ya little bro, bro, come, ya, you run, go tell my lady. I go take a flop boat, go TI, I won't be back till Friday. I'll buy your favorite chicken island rooster, one cotton, low passion pop. So if you wait for me, Lord Sand Beach, if not, say see you won't. If I know low boat, I low dinghy. You are cheap on island too. If you look sea white from long way, you savvy me ply, you cruising through. Whoa, yo, 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 come ya little bro, bro, come ya, you run, go tell my lady.
I go take up the boat to go to TI. I won't be back till Friday. I'll buy your favorite Chicken Island rooster, one cotton blow-fashioned pop. So if you wait for me, Los Angeles, if not, say see you more. Banalin too. If you look see white from long way, you sabi me fly, you cruising through. Whoa, yo, 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 come ya little bro, bro, come ya, you run, go tell my lady. I go take up the boat, go TI, I won't be back till Friday. I'll buy your favorite Chicken Island rooster, one cotton blow passion pop. So if you wait for me, Los Angeles, if not, say see you all. Come here, little bro, bro, come ya, you run, go tell my lady.
Tell my lady.
I go take a flip boat, go TI, I won't be back till Friday.
Till Friday.
I'll buy your favorite Chicken Island rooster, one cotton blow passion pop. So if you wait for me, Los Angeles, if not,
say see you off.
So if you wait for me, Lord Sandy, if not,
say see you off.
Say see you off.
Hey, you use my boat last. No petrol. Where's the petrol? Ah, we're stuck in that. I'll have to swim.
Queensland's weather can be unpredictable, and it doesn't plan before it strikes. It won't ask if you have a plan B for kindy pickup, or if your neighbour can check on the dogs. It won't ask if your elderly mum has enough medication, or if your family photos are safe. And it won't ask if your family is ready. Weather doesn't plan, but you can. Search Get Ready Queensland and make your emergency plan online today. Spoken by Jonathan Thurston. Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane.
Station sponsor.
First Nations Connect is Telstra's phone line and service centre for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander customers. You can call our friendly team on 1800 444 403 if you have any questions about your Telstra phone or internet plan. Or visit telstra.com and search First Nations Connect. That's 1800 444 403 and telstra.com. Search First Nations Connect.
Station sponsor.
National Talk Black.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji country. As BBM Bumrabib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you seen Yan Up Strong? All right, big shout out to Yumi Arts. They have another exhibition. The summer show completes the 2024 exhibition season with a gift-worthy showcase of Queensland First Nation best. And we're coming up to Christmas, so it'd be a good time to purchase some deadly arts and for your deadly family, for friends or what have you. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with the First Nation artist, or one of the First Nation artists, who's an exhibitor at the summer show exhibition, and that's Connie Ravina. Got Connie on the line. Connie, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good, thanks, Trev. Good morning, and good morning to all our listeners out there.
Thank you very much, my sister. And before we start, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Connie?
Yeah, my mob, we're from further north. We're Kokotaipan. My grandma's side, and
yes.
Granddad's side is Whitty from the Central Coast, Queensland, or not coastline, but Nebo way.
Okay, beautiful. Good footprint. Thank you very much. So, look, you wear a couple of hats. You're one of the artists, exhibitors, in the summer show that's coming up. That's been launched today.
So we're sort of pretty proud of that fact.
Yes. And when you're talking Yumi Arts, how long has Yumi Arts been running for, Connie?
Well, we're heading up to our 20th year now, so next year we'll be having our celebrations
for
being in operation and supporting artists in the region
yes.
with programs and workshops and exhibitions and many different things, actually.
Many different things. Look, and a fantastic vehicle in regarding supporting our artists up and coming. 20 years, you're talking about artists who've probably been there from the get-go and still operating. It's a great platform as such. And tell us about, because you wear a couple of hats. Once you're one hat, you wear your director, but also secretary. Is that the case?
Yeah, it is. Trev. Just been really enjoying it so much. And, you know, like sometimes we get a little bit overwhelmed with things because we're having such fun. But this year I've decided to take on a little bit more of a role. I want to be more involved in getting our mob to those levels that we need to be at to, you know, produce work for to create our own businesses and to just pick up, you know, all those specialist skills that are required in the art field.
Sure.
And also being able to communicate with different levels of operations and organisations.
And we've always got artists coming through, whether they be elderly just starting out or the young person coming out of high school and found a passion in art. And that's what Yumi Arts does. It creates that platform as such. So when you're talking about the summer show exhibition kicking off today, how many artists would be at the table in this exhibition? And would some of them be first time exhibiting? Yep.
Our collection of artists we've got about 12, I think.
Okay.
Exhibiting in this, and most of us are, you know, like we've exhibited before, so
okay.
Most of us would be midstream, I would say.
Okay.
Got some really good works. We've created special ones just for the summer show because we want to be able to move them a little quicker.
Sure.
And you know, towards the end of the year, people are looking for those gifts for Christmas. And,
yes.
You know, just that something was something really special, like extra story from country and, you know, just connecting people.
And when we talk art, we talk all different aspects of art, whether it be pottery, whether it be canvas, whether it be painting, print, what have you. Is that the case with the summer show exhibition?
Yeah, we've got a collection of all sorts of different pieces. We've got some of Michelle Yateman doing pottery from Yarrabah.
Yes.
We've got prints. We've got local artists in the region with their local paintings. Kevin Edmondson, paintings and some carvings. So, yeah, we've got a pretty good collection.
Good. Fantastic. And so you've got some pieces there as well as an artist? Secretary,
yeah,
director,
only
slash.
Only the two pieces.
Two pieces, all right. Thank you.
My piece is just referred to birds. So.
All right, beautiful. And describe your art. Are we talking painting or what are we talking?
Yeah, I've got a couple of paintings in.
Good, okay, Connie, yep.
My style is, you know, that North Queensland style. We like, we learn a lot about our animal designs, yes. up this way.
Yes.
And that's the sort of style that I've done my whole life.
Mm.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Now, I caught you at the Fashion Week parade there at the Benson Hotel the other night.
Yes.
Of course, you were there and witnessing what was going on. You were talking about a vision for your art to go into fashion. So you're excited about that, or is that the vision for that to happen?
Yeah, I am actually, Trev.
Good.
I just see, you know, what Indigenous people, our people, our mob have done in the last, you know, 10 years has been phenomenal.
Yes.
With fashion. You know, they had a photograph of the Amalfi Coast as one of the backboards at the Benson. I could easily just see anywhere in Cairns or along our Darwin coast, you know, our
artwork.
Just the variety and
sure.
colour and style and design that we have is exciting. It's really
yes.
electrifying. And I'm hoping myself to step into that.
Good.
You know, I just want to keep being absorbed in our own culture in that way.
Mm. Well, I've always said that we are wealthy being black when we talk about our culture, you know. We just got to get our skin in the game or get active, get proactive, you know.
Yeah.
Just sitting on the goal and who we are, and our culture is rich in more ways than one, you know. But thank you for sharing, my sister. Congratulations. So that all kicks off this afternoon and goes for a month, you're saying?
Yeah.
The summer show exhibition. And over there at the Yumi Arts, over there on Jensen Street, yes?
Yep.
All right, cool. So bring your credit card, bring your ATM card, and purchase some daily gifts for family, for loved ones, for Christmas. So there it is. And thank you for sharing. A big shout out to your deadly team. And I believe I'll be catching having a yarn with Kevin Edmondson very soon as well. But thank you, Connie. You keep smiling. And we'll talk soon, sister.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly yarn there. Connie Ravina, her name is, First Nation artist and summer show exhibitor. So she's there performing a couple of pieces she mentioned, and they're going to be 12 odd artists showcasing their staff, their work at the summer show exhibition at the Yumi Arts. So do check it out, your local mob here in Cairns. And it's a great opportunity for your mob not in Cairns. Do check out Yumi Arts. It's UMI, Yumi Arts, and check out all the work that they do. And look, fantastic, supporting our artists, supporting it in the business sense, but also supporting them for purchasing the work and good gifts for coming up to Christmas. There it is. Have you saying yarn up strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bummerbib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service, and big shout out to the NERS team as well. National Talk Black, yarn up strong.
Patiently waiting for someone I ain't never seen before to say he's a captain of men, but ain't believing our love. From the land of the white skin, he's self-righteous, a murder without license. With the spear, I'm the nicest, thinking that I might just wait till night hits. Then I move in silence, when the moon at its highest, and my soul is defiant. I'm consumed by desire to kill. Any white devil wanna test my will, then he finna get burnt by the fire I feel. Look him in the eye and hold his spirit still. He's hoping I don't catch him, but I know I will.
Standing on the shoreline, hoopin' coming. Mother wanna cross mine, wanna take it from me. Fire in my eye.
say that I came in peace, but our blood still stains the beach. Roll the dice, we gon' play for keeps. The sacred place ain't a place to preach.
No, no, no.
No white faith and a black belief.
No, no, no.
Better pray that our spears don't reach. He's cold, white, hot, I'ma make it bleed. Leading to the first fleet, sicker than disease that he bring from overseas. No matter where you flee, I will always be. In the darkest of night, your descendant will see me. Standing on the shoreline,
come rain, come in.
Mother wanna cross mine,
wanna take it from me.
Fire in my